So, as James said, our reading today is on page 1053 of the Pew Bibles. Luke 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed the sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." This is the word of God.
Rolene, thank you for reading that out for us. Can I invite you to keep your Bibles open there at Luke chapter 19, page 1053. And in the service sheets on page 6, you'll find a sort of basic outline of where we're going this morning, which might be of help if anyone wants to take notes as well. But as we come to look at God's Word, let's pray to Him and ask Him to help us to understand it. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you that we can be together on this morning. And we thank you, Lord, that you are a God who loves us so much, who has lavished us with your grace. And we pray, Lord, that as we see how you worked in the life of Zacchaeus this morning, that you would also be at work in our lives simultaneously. We pray for your Spirit to be our helper this morning, and that you would be our teacher. And we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wonder if anybody saw the story in the news this week of the Austrian heiress who inherited 25 million euros that she then decided to give away. Marlene Engelhorn, age 31, is setting up a group of just everyday citizens to decide how she should give this 25 million euros that she's inherited from her grandmother away. Apparently, she wants these normal people to determine how the money should be redistributed. And she's not going to hold any sort of veto on whatever they decide. The only condition is that the money's got to be used as a blessing to the wider society. Now, it's not been revealed what percentage of the inheritance that she's received, the 25 million euros, is. But regardless of the figure, the reason it's captured the attention of the press is that because it's an incredibly generous move, isn't it? There must be all sorts of things that a 31-year-old could choose to spend 25 million euros on. The mansion set in its own estate. The ski chalet perched in an exclusive alpine resort. The yacht in the Mediterranean, the private jet, the private island, the vineyard in the south of France. At the very least, it would cover the winter heating and fuel costs over these cold months. But I wonder how many of us, if we were sitting on such a sum, would have been as generous as Marlene was just to give it away in order to bless others. Well, in our Bible passage before us this morning, we see another example of a really radical generosity. It's a story that if you've been around in church for any sort of length of time, you will probably be familiar with. Zacchaeus, the tax collector. The tax collector who met Jesus and was transformed as he gave away half of his possessions. And it really is a radical generosity that Zacchaeus demonstrates, isn't it? It all begins in verse 6 as Zacchaeus welcomes Jesus into his house. You see, Jesus is passing through the town of Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. This is the journey that, if you've been with us over the last couple of years, we've been following throughout Luke's gospel, as Jesus is making his way towards the cross. Remember, this is the very reason that Jesus came, to suffer and to die and to rise again after 3 days, to pay the price for his people's sin. Now, this is what we've just celebrated over Christmas, as we remembered and celebrated the Savior born to us today, who is Christ the Lord. And you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. This was the very reason that Emmanuel, God with us, came to suffer and to die upon the cross, to save us from sin. And in terms of where we are in Luke's gospel, that's all going to happen in just over a week's time, as Jesus makes his final journey from this town of Jericho, where our story is set this morning, to the city of Jerusalem. We're nearing the end of the journey. But for now, Jesus wants somewhere to stay, and so he asks Zacchaeus if he can go to his house. Well, as we read verse 6, we see that Zacchaeus is only too happy to oblige, and we're told that he welcomes Jesus. Now, other translations of the Bible translate that word used here gladly as joyfully. He's happy to welcome Jesus. He's joyful about it, which is quite a contrast to the crowds who are gathered round, who at this point are muttering and grumbling. But we need to notice and acknowledge that actually the Jerichoan crowd who were there probably had a right to grumble. They had a right to feel aggrieved. I'm guessing not many of them had been invited into Zacchaeus' house. In fact, most of them had probably contributed to the finances used to build it. But I suspect not many had had the privilege of stepping through his gates. You see, back in verse 2, we read that not only is Zacchaeus a tax collector, but he's a chief tax collector. And because of this, he was wealthy. You probably don't need me to tell you that tax collectors back in Jesus' day made their money through cheating and oppressing their own countrymen. And so Zacchaeus had built his millions by jumping on the back of his Jewish compatriots, collecting taxes on behalf of the occupying Roman Empire, but adding his own cuts to each tax bill that he handed out. He was a traitor. He was a thief. But as we see in verse 2, it clearly paid well. You see, Zacchaeus, he already had the mansion set behind the high security wall of the automatic gates. Maybe he had the ski chalet in the Alps already too. I don't know. But it's unlikely that he was used to offering much by the way of impromptu hospitality because of who he was and not many people wanting to associate with him. Do you want to come to dinner tonight? Sorry, Zacchaeus, I'm washing my hair. You can see how it might have led to a closed-door mentality. Yet when he meets Jesus, he's only too happy, isn't he, to throw open his doors and to welcome him in. But that's just the start, because in verse 8, Zacchaeus does something astonishing. And this really is astonishing. Let's have a look. Remember, this man whose working life has been all about acquiring wealth for himself, suddenly he pledges to give away half of all his wealth to the poor. Half of all that he has. Like Marlene Engelhorn, he wanted to bless society with what he got. A man who had been all about taking, suddenly on meeting Jesus, he wanted to give back. A man who had been devoted solely to himself, suddenly on meeting Jesus, wanted to bless others. I want you just to try and imagine for a moment what giving away half of your wealth would look like, however great or small that might be. How costly would that be for you personally? Half the value of your house, if you own one? Your car? Your savings? your pension? I wonder what your new life would look like if you were to actually to do this. Maybe you're wondering how you would survive. What on earth could want to move somebody to do that? But actually, that's only half the story, because as well as giving away half of his wealth to the poor, Zacchaeus, he also makes a pledge, doesn't he? A pledge to pay back four times the amount to anybody that he had cheated. Whoa, this is enormous. Remember how Zacchaeus had made his fortune by cheating other people. And he was pledging to pay them back, not just what he had taken, but four times that amount. According to the commentators at this point, legal compensation for extortion was 20% in Jewish culture back in Zacchaeus' day. But paying back four times the amount, well, Zacchaeus far exceeds this. Now, I'm no mathematician, as some of you know, but try and work out exactly what Zacchaeus is left with. And, well, it's not going to be very much, is it? Now, at this point, you might just be thinking, Zacchaeus seems a nutcase. He's plainly just gone mad. Meeting Jesus has somehow made him delirious. And Monica and I were recently watching Miss Americana. Has anybody seen Miss Americana? A documentary about Taylor Swift. Monica's choice, obviously. But it was quite interesting, following her life as she toured around the world. But when she visited Japan, she hosted a meet and greet for her Japanese fan club. And these Japanese fans, as they came through the door one after another, they all went into some sort of manic state, just going absolutely berserk and screaming and crying and blurting out all sorts of bizarre things in the face of meeting their idol. Was this what was going on here with Zacchaeus and meeting Jesus? He just entered a state of uncontrollable mania. If you don't have a clue who Taylor Swift is, have a word with Richard Carter afterwards. He'll tell you more. Well, actually, no, that's not what's going on here. Instead, there's a much deeper reality, which Jesus underlines for us in verse 9. Let's have a look at verse 9, where he says this. He says, today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. You see, it's not just a case of Zacchaeus meeting his hero and not knowing what to say, and so just blurting out things about thinking. Instead, a fundamental change has taken place in this man in this very specific moment. Today, Jesus says, salvation has come to this house. And so what could have led to this sudden change taking place? What was it about today that caused Zacchaeus to change? Well, the answer is that day, Zacchaeus encountered the radical grace of Jesus for himself. Actually, this is a passage just dripping in grace, isn't it? I've tried on page 6 of the service sheet just to emphasize this. I think there's grace oozing from nearly every verse in this encounter. So back in verse 1, Jesus just so happens to enter Jericho. A coincidence, maybe? Well, not when we read it in the context of verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. You see, this is no chance encounter. Jesus is heading to the cross, remember? That's his focus, that's his mission. But as part of his journey, he decides to travel through the town of Jericho. And as will become clear, he plans to stay the night here. For in Zacchaeus, he has a very specific host in mind. Imagine for a second you know that you've only got 10 days of your life left to live. How would you choose to spend it? Would you go around introducing yourself to strangers, or would you try and spend it with your nearest and dearest, your family, your closest friends? But even in this final fortnight of Jesus' life, he was going out of his way to make radically generous time for someone who, as we read on, we discover is the least deserving recipient of Jesus' compassion. For in verse 2, we see that Zacchaeus, he's a scoundrel. Now, Luke could have told us all sorts of details about Zacchaeus here, couldn't he? What his colour hair was, what football team he supports, what his favourite movie was. Whether he was a Taylor Swift fan or Beyonce fan, I don't know. But he tells us what we need to understand to appreciate the extent of Jesus' grace. He tells us that he's a tax collector, at the negative connotations we've seen throughout Luke. But what's more, he tells us he's the chief tax collector and very wealthy. Remember Jesus' words of how hard it is for the rich to enter his kingdom that he spoke just a couple of chapters ago to the rich young ruler. He said it's harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for the rich to enter his kingdom. You see, we're meant to realize that the odds are all stacked against Zacchaeus. In fact, we're not even meant to like him, in case you're prone to root for the underdog. For if that's not too bad, Zacchaeus, he's probably got little man syndrome too. For he's so short, he can't even see over the crowd. And so he has the shame of having to climb a tree just to get a glimpse of Jesus. You see, the details that Luke includes here paint a picture of a man who is simply not worthy. Which is why verse 5 is so astonishing. Verse 5. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Now, Jesus could have chosen to stay with anyone from the crowds, to go and spend time with them on the last few days of his life on earth. And yet he chooses Zacchaeus. Does Zacchaeus deserve it? No. Has he earned it? No. Does he recognize his need of a savior? Yes. And so he came down and he welcomed Jesus gladly. And this is what leads to the crowds muttering and grumbling in verse 7 that Jesus has gone to be a guest of, what words does Luke use here to emphasize his point? A sinner. A sinner welcoming Jesus gladly. A sinner receiving the radical grace of the Savior. A sinner safe in the presence of his Lord. A sinner changed by the grace of the Son of Man, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And in that moment, on that day, as Zacchaeus welcomed Jesus into his life, Jesus proclaimed in verse 9, today salvation has come to his house, this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Zacchaeus placed his trust in Jesus. And you know what? It had a radical impact on his life as his priorities were turned upside down. From life being all about himself to life being all about glorifying God and serving others. It's an incredible encounter, isn't it? It's amazing to see how the radical grace of Jesus can transform even the greatest of sinners. But actually, this encounter is the same encounter that any of us need to have. If, like Zacchaeus, we too are going to experience salvation in Jesus. You see, none of us are without sin. None of us are worthy. None of us deserve to walk into Christ's kingdom trusting in our own merits, trusting in our own righteousness. The Bible says that we all have fallen short of the glory of God. And yet, such is Jesus' love for us. Such is his compassion. Such is his mercy that he extends his grace to us all. All of us have the opportunity to become a son of Abraham. That's using shorthand Old Testament language for the people of God. All of us have the opportunity to become part of Christ's family as we place our trust in Jesus and let him deal with our sin. None of us are worthy, yet all of us are called down from the tree by Jesus. the Son of Man who came to seek and save what was lost. At Christmas time, we remember he has come for you and for me. And he wants to welcome us into his kingdom today. He longs for you to experience the fullness of his love and the life-changing grace that he longs to lavish upon you for yourself. Zacchaeus recognized his need of a savior, and he gladly accepted the grace of Christ for himself. Let me ask you, brothers and sisters, is that also true of you today as well? Well, if you're unsure as to the answer to this question, one indicator that could be used is what fruit do you see in your life? You see, in Zacchaeus, as he gave away his wealth and possessions, we see a clear response, don't we, as to how the gospel and the grace of Jesus impacted his life. You see, there's no such thing as a person who has truly encountered the love of Jesus and who yet walks away unchanged. The great thing about Jesus' love is that it truly transforms people and sets them free to love him back. That was the case 2,000 years ago as Jesus met Zacchaeus in Jericho that day. And it continues to be the case today. You see, the love of Jesus always moves us to respond to him in all sorts of wonderful ways. And it's not just about what we do with our money, although that's definitely an application for us this morning. I received the provisional figures this week for the 2023 All Saints Church accounts. And they show that we fell around £1,000 short of breaking even for the year, which has left us with a slight deficit, but which, considering the forecast at the start of last year, is an astonishing answer to prayer. And I just want to take this opportunity to say a huge thank you to everybody who has given so generously to the ongoing work of the church here in Risley. But perhaps as we start a new year, it's a good time to review our regular giving. Not giving out of obligation or necessity, but out of joy. Does our giving reflect the gospel which we're blessed in? Now, I just want to make sure that nobody mishears me this morning. I want to clearly say that we're not all called to give away half of our wealth. Don't take that as the message, although if you want to contribute more to the church, of course, have a word with Brian after the service. But that's not the point here. In fact, all of us I know are in very different financial positions. But giving is one aspect of what our response to the gospel of grace might include. Or what about the same joy of hospitality that Zacchaeus was only too pleased to share? How does the gospel of Jesus, his amazing radical grace, lead you to share your time and your resources with others? Who are you loving as you open up your home and your time to spend with others? In what ways has the grace of Christ impacted the way you practice hospitality? Or how about your desire to meet with Jesus and other his people? Zacchaeus made an enormous effort, didn't he, of humiliating himself to climb a tree as a fully grown man just to catch a glimpse of Jesus as he was passing through. I wonder in what ways the gospel has impacted your desire to spend time with Jesus. On your own, in private prayer and Bible study. With others at church, as we meet each week here on a Sunday morning. Or in home groups and prayer meetings which take place throughout the week. Do you share the same desire to meet with Jesus and spend time with him as Zacchaeus did? There will, of course, be other things that could be said here too, but does your life reflect the radical grace of Christ? Are we living like radical disciples, changed by his radical and wonderful grace? But finally, as I draw to a close, maybe there are some people here this morning who you know this isn't the case. Maybe you've just started coming to church, or maybe you've been coming for years. Well, the gospel, it just doesn't really move you. It doesn't bring you any joy. Maybe it doesn't make sense. Maybe you have nagging doubts and questions. Well, if that's you this morning, can I say a huge thank you for being with us today? We're so glad that you're here. And can I encourage you to come on that Christianity Explored course that we're running this term? If you can't make it in the afternoons, please don't worry. Come and let me know, and we can find a time to run it in the evenings. But this course is an opportunity to get to know Jesus better, in a really personal way, and to encounter him just like Zacchaeus did. It's not the only way to get to know him better, but I think it's a really great place to start. Is that not an encounter that you'd like for yourself? Come and speak to me after the service and let me know. I'd really love to hear from you. I think there's lots of applications for us to consider this morning. And so can I just propose that we just take a moment of quiet, a moment to think and reflect as to how we might feel moved to respond afresh to the radical and life-changing gospel of grace that we have in our Lord Jesus, our Saviour, who suffered and died to pay the price for our sin. Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Zacchaeus was lost, but Jesus found him. And Jesus has come to find each one of us here this morning too. Let's just be quiet. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this wonderful story of how Zacchaeus encountered the radical and life-changing grace of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we have received a gospel of grace, that it's not about who we are or what we do, but it's all about what you have done for us and your amazing love for us. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus is our Saviour. And we pray, Lord, that as we grow in our knowledge and love of him, that our lives would be transformed, that we might be impacted by his radical grace to be radical disciples. Help each one of us to see what that looks like in our own lives as we look to live as followers of him. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, our final